back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, won't you, friends? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten your day. Good Saturday morning, Mae.
Good morning. Good morning, Fred. Thank you so much. And good morning, friends, and how are you this lovely spring day? Pretty day, isn't it? It's just not too pretty, but it's pretty. Today is the last day just before the great day of resurrection, Easter Day. The greatest day this planet ever saw. I don't know about the other planets, I often wonder, and I don't care much. I only know that a man gave his life for humanity on this one, a divine man on this, our Earth. I wrote a little Easter poem this week. I'm always writing a little Easter poem or a little Christmas poem or something. It was about this. So many people look only toward the cross and the suffering. I know it was agony, but we're not to forget what it was for. So my little poem said, look not toward Gethsemane. The night is bleak and long, and though it find you kneeling there in battle with some fierce despair, look up, 'tis Easter morning. The path to dark Gethsemane is wet with blood and tears. Within a tomb that tragic day, they shut this lonely God away, they thought, for all the years. But he arose, and you and I have no Gethsemane. Gethsemane and Calvary were never meant for you and me. Look up, 'tis Easter morning. Through the pale postern gates of death, where Stygian darkness lies, they bore this broken, bleeding youth with dreams still in his eyes. He was only 33 years old. I consider that a boy nearly. But he arose and left for us through all the years between a shining and eternal faith in things that are unseen. Yes, unseen. Tomorrow is our day of joy. Thursday was the day of sadness, the day of the cross. We all went through Lent and tried to keep it ever with us. I know me and my loved ones did. And then tomorrow is the day of glad rebirth. And I am glad indeed I am. You know, there are powers that we know not of. Nothing is impossible. Nothing can be destroyed. Easter proves that, and it's proven right in science and in life. You cannot destroy matter. It's impossible, for it only changes form. So how can you destroy a living soul? And so we go on today with a shining and unchanging faith in things that are unseen. The world has no need of a new order. Hitler taught us all we wanted to know about new orders. It needs only an honest and courageous application of the historic life and death of Jesus the Nazarene. Yes, that's what it needs. You know, it would take so little to make this a great world, but people don't seem to know it. And there's a little poem that says, it takes so little to make us sad, just a slighting word or a doubting sneer, just a scornful smile on some lips held dear, and our footsteps lag, though the goal seems near, and we lose the courage and hope we had. So little it takes to make us sad. It takes a little to make us glad, just a cheering clasp of a friendly hand, just a word from one who can understand. And we finish the task we long had planned, and we lose the doubt and the fear we had. So little it takes to make us glad. And while I'm reading poetry, you know, sometimes I love to read poems to you that I know will help you and make you think as they make me think. Here's a little one. Why cherish a dream that is ended? Why look through a vista of years to suffer a long burned sorrow? Why open the wound with new tears? So many are doing that. Why waste precious moments thinking of things that were beautiful then? Why linger o'er graves that hold treasures that may never come back again? It is over. Forget it as useless. No matter how anxious we be, we cannot go back and recover a pearl that is lost in the sea. No, I wish we could. Should all the weight of life be laid across our shoulders at just one place, and the future rife with woe and struggle meet us face to face, we could not go on. Our feet would stop. And so God lays a little on us every day. And never, I believe, in all life's way will burdens bear so deep, our pathways lie so steep, but we can go on. If by some great power we only bear the burden of the hour. Oh, I try to remember that all the time, one day at a time. Well, now some items I collect now and then that are informative and interesting. Alma Northcutt sent me this item, and the item surprised me. I didn't know this fact, but of course, I don't know quite everything, you know. Do you ever think of that? We always think of Iceland as the coldest country on earth, Iceland, or at least one of the coldest. And this little article said that while Iceland had been denied mines and forests, it had not been denied heat. Imagine, of all things, you know where the heat is? No other land on earth has such an abundance of boiling water all over it. The island is full of steaming vent holes, just boiling over. Scores of enterprising farmers have piped this water into their sod-covered houses. Many farmers have harnessed some nearby boiling waterfall and have an electric plant of their own, run by hot water. Many don't have to have wood. They build their hut beside a hot boiling spring, and that keeps their place warm, and they raise potatoes and raise hens, and they let the sheep raise themselves. What more does a man want? Well, you know, that sort of got me. Iceland, with boiling water all over it. Just dig a hole in there, you've got the boiling water. Well, you know, I told you I didn't know everything yet. Just give me time. And then here's something else. A team of 20 scientists are starting to climb Mount Everest. They will fly from San Francisco and land at Nepal in the Himalayan mountains and start the 29,000-foot climb up that awful, dangerous mountain. 25 tons of equipment and supplies have to be taken along, including a diet of 5,000 calories a day for each man. And it will take 900 men as porters or carriers to carry the stuff. 900, that's an army itself. And about 40 Sherpas, they call them. They're the skilled mountain men of the Himalaya region who will go ahead and make camps at those awful levels. Federal and private grants help finance much of the expedition. There goes our money again. Oh, land. And the expedition will cost $326,000. Mount Everest, the 29,000-foot peak, has been climbed only twice. Once in 1953 and then in 1956. Extreme altitude, storms, radiation, and physical strain make it a very dangerous hazard. You know, that just gets me. And what for are they doing? Do you know that I think that people who climb mountains have something loose flapping around in their heads? I really do. What on earth for? I think it's mostly show off to just say you climbed it. Oh, well. Thank heaven I don't have to climb a mountain to show off. I could try to show off some other way. I'd rather do a good deed to one poor lonely soul, or even feed a starving dog or cat, than to climb Mount Everest. Now, if you want to know what I think about it. Like this little poem. It was only a cup of coffee and some slices of day-old bread, but they started a chain reaction that raised a man from the dead. For along with the bread and coffee, he was given the living word, which reached the goal of his inmost soul and made him to know his Lord. And the angels rejoiced in heaven for this soul that was made anew. Oh, we never know, as we onward go, what little things can do. Our Carlike up at Deepwater sent me that lovely little poem. Yes, little things, and little things in many ways. Other ways, on March the 1st, last year, 1962, at 10 in the morning, an American airplane's jet left Idlewild Airport, New York, for Los Angeles. A few seconds later, it crashed into Jamaica Bay at the end of the concourse. The cause of the crash was a malfunction of a tiny pencil-length wire, just the length of a pencil, and 1/16 of an inch thick, and 95 people were dead. Yes, the little things of life, that little wire, the length of a pencil and 1/16 of an inch thick, and 95 people were dead. I don't know that the angels are rejoicing, as it says in the poem, when those men lug that stuff to the top of Mount Everest and hang over desperate chasms and maybe drop into them, as many, many mountain climbers have done. But I do know that when that poor lonely man in the poem I just read was given a cup of coffee, the angels rejoiced because he was made to know that somebody cared about him. Those are the things that angels care about, not climbing mountains or going to the moon. Well, I promise to repeat again, I think I'll have time, the story about the prophecy written on an old tombstone in Essex, England. Several have asked me to repeat that little, that prophecy. An old woman had made the prophecy in England, and it wasn't the widely read Mother Shipton. It wasn't her who prophesied. She prophesied such strange and true things 500 years ago. This old woman, though, even her name is crumbled, they say, almost crumbled off of the gravestone. But they make out the verse, and it's there to this day. One time I gave this story over the air in St. Louis. It was during the last war, and a woman who heard it had a son stationed in Essex, England, right then, and she wrote him immediately by airmail to go and take a picture of the gravestone at Essex and see if it was truly there, and he did, and she brought the picture to the radio station and showed it to me. There was the old tombstone and the old moss-grown verse she had written during her life and had requested it to be put on her gravestone. It had been there 400 years then and could still be read plainly. Since then, I read that they've carved it deeper so it would last maybe another 400 years, and this is what she wrote. When pictures look alike with motions free, that sounds like the movies, when men shall walk and talk beneath the sea, that's submarines, when men outstripping birds shall fly the sky, that's airplanes, then half the world deep drenched in blood shall lie. And about half the world was deep drenched right then when that boy took the Kodak picture of the gravestone. He was in it, in the war. And mind you, 400 years ago, such a thing as movies and submarines and airplanes were not even dreamed of. How did it all ever come to this old woman's mind? Can you even imagine? Well, I believe the world has seers even yet. Some people have that power, and it isn't always the great and mighty either. But you don't often get it in some carnival for a dime, some carnival tent, or from crystal ball gazers or jumping tables or ring-eared gypsies. No, you don't. This one in England 400 years ago, more likely it comes from some old woman like that. I've lost Fred. Lynn, my time is up. What's become of Fred? Here he comes. Here he comes. Well, I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.